Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Lila O'Hara and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about tips for answering that popular job interview question, tell me about yourself. Often the first question you get in a job interview is this, tell me about yourself. How you answer can make a huge difference. Our guest expert this week is Carrie Twigg. She says your response should be conversational, enjoyable, and above all, strategic. And you should practice your answer ahead of time. Carrie and I talk later in the show. For most of us, it's hard to ask others for help, especially during a job search. We may think our request will annoy others or people will think less of us. And often we apologize when we do ask. Lila has found an article that says we grossly underestimate how much others want to help us. And the author found there's a right way and wrong way to approach others. Lila tells us more in a moment. You're a recent college graduate with no industry or company experience. Should you apply for jobs that require 2, 5, or even more years of experience? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Shiva Acharya in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's check in with the Mac's List team. And Lila, welcome back. You had some time off over the holiday weekend.
I did, yeah. It was really great to get away from the office and just relax with my family. So it was a really good time.
Yeah. Well, we missed you last week, but I'm glad you had a nice break.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, you're out there, and I know you didn't do this when you were on vacation.
So No,
you weren't looking around the nooks and crannies of the internet.
Not when I was out of the office, but I'm back at it this week. So
yeah. So full disclosure, you actually did the research before you went on vacation, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Planned ahead.
Yeah, good for you. Well, what have you found for our listeners this week?
So we all need help with our job search, but many of us really hate asking for help or we're reluctant to ask questions when we don't understand something. Maybe you think that you have a really silly question or you just don't want to bother somebody to take time away from their busy schedule to help you. The Verge interviewed social psychologist Heidi Grant about why we wildly underestimate how willing and likely people are to help us. Heidi is the author of Reinforcements, How to Get People to Help You. And this interview is full of insights into why asking for help is something you should rely on and not be ashamed of. Heidi says that asking for help is a really big untapped resource. Many of us are afraid or ashamed to ask for help because we think people will think less of us. But Heidi counters this misconception and says that evidence suggests that people like us more for asking for help. Basically, the idea is, if I help you, I want to like you. We want to be consistent in what we do, so we believe that if I helped someone, I must like them. Heidi also points out that the common question, can you do me a favor, is not the right way to ask for help because it can easily seem manipulative or controlling. This question can lead to someone committing to help you before they really know what you're asking for. And by then, you've already made them feel obligated because they promised to do you a favor. Another misstep that people take is over-apologizing when they ask for help. This can make the person lending aid feel negatively, and it can rob them of their ability to enjoy helping if you're so entirely focused on your own guilt and shame about asking for help. Asking for help can sometimes make you feel vulnerable, especially when you're trying something new or if you feel like you haven't got a clue what to do next. But it's important to not be afraid or ashamed to ask for help, especially when you've hit a wall, either in your job search or just in any challenge you face. Getting help from a colleague, friend, or mentor can unlock new solutions, boost your confidence, and give you more direction in your job search.
Yeah, I think that's a really important interview to share. So I think that she shares a lot of really important tips about just going through it, because it really is, I think, something that people struggle with a lot, asking for help.
Yeah.
And that vulnerability that you mentioned is something that I think everybody struggles with just in general in life, but especially in the job search, because you don't want to let people know that you're struggling, or I think there's this common need to feel secure in everything that you're doing. And it's a human need completely, but you know, asking for help, we hear it time and again in our bonus episodes that we speak to job folks in our community who have landed successful jobs, and we have invited them back to tell us about their job search experience. And often after they've been in their career for about a year, and they tell us time and again that, you know, being vulnerable and asking for help and reaching out to people is really what helps them be successful in that job search. So it's really important to do that.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good, excellent point. And I know this is something, as you say, Jessica, people struggle with. I think all of us around the table have at different
Absolutely.
Points in our career, because we think that people are going to say no, so we don't want to. You are, as you say, making yourself vulnerable, and we don't understand that people really are kind of wired to want to help others.
Yeah,
you just have to make it easy for them to say yes. And I especially like the point in this story, Leela, about people not how they should avoid apologizing. I think we've all done that. We've said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to be trouble." And but it's, again, it gets back to the author's point that people do want to help us.
Yeah, it's all about just being vulnerable and asking, because people will most of the time just be really glad to help. So
I also really liked one last thing. I really liked her point about not saying, "Can I ask a favor?"
Yeah,
you know, asking for help, but phrasing it in a way that can be very two-sided and reciprical.
Definitely.
We've talked about how you get so much back when you give without expecting to get anything in return.
Absolutely.
It's true. Well, excellent article, and thanks for finding that, Leela. If you've got a suggestion for Leela, please write her. We'd love to share your idea on the show, and her email address is leela@maxlist.org. Now let's turn to you, rather, our listeners. Jessica Black is here to answer one of your questions. And I think you weren't on vacation last week. Or you were. You were on
I
a stay
also,
vacation.
Yeah.
So you
I
got
took the holiday week off, yes.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
And I do remember that.
Of course, yeah.
We do work together.
That's right. It feels so long ago already, even though it was just a few days ago.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, when you were digging around the mailbag before you left on your stay vacation, what did you discover for our listeners?
I found a question from Shiva Acharya from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he wrote with the question about being a recent college graduate. So he writes, "Being a recent college graduate with no prior industry or company experience, it's quite frustrating when jobs require two to five or more years of job experiences. Is it still worth it to apply for such jobs, or shall I completely ignore these while searching for jobs online? Will employers completely cut out recent graduates for these kinds of jobs, or is there still a chance to be considered by them?" So I really like this question, because it can feel really frustrating and disheartening. I remember being in that position as well, of feeling like, I can't get experience until I get hired, but then they are asking for years of experience from the get-go. So what do I do? And so I just want to let Shiva know to not let this deter you, because employers often use job descriptions as a wish list, and they don't expect their next hire to have all of the requirements that they list. But it's, again, sort of a wish list. So they're gonna write down everything that they wish that they could have in their next candidate. But I do encourage anyone, if you feel like this is the perfect position for you, still apply for it, and you just never know. But you still do need to make the case for why you're the best fit, and so you need to make sure that you are identifying in your resume and application how your previous experiences have shaped you into this ideal candidate for the role that you're applying for. So, you know, list all of the things that you've done, both in your college experience, jobs before college, internships, volunteer experiences, things like that. Whatever it is that is relatable to this position, that you can list that you have gained these skills, and also showing that you are willing and able to learn. But don't get too tied to the actual years of experience, because, you know, just sometimes you might get a break, and some employers may still cut folks out of that, and that's something that you can't get around. But you do need to, I would encourage anyone to still try and still apply for things, again, with making sure that you're listing the ways that you are capable of doing this position and experienced in various ways, even if you don't have the years of experience. So the worst that can happen is that you don't get the job, but the best that can happen is that you do. So might as well go for it. What else would you guys say?
Yeah, I would say that I've definitely been in that same boat too, where you're trying to find a job, but you don't necessarily have the experience under your belt yet. And I think what I would suggest to Shiva is just think about all of the different kind of threads throughout your past experiences that you could showcase in the interview. So even if you don't have 5 years of experience working in the industry yet, maybe you've had 2 or 3 internships where you worked really closely with people in the industry and you learned a lot from those experiences. Or maybe you've done some volunteering. Or maybe you've done some kind of special side projects that would be really valuable to showcase.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think it's hard because, you see that number and you automatically think, well, I'm not qualified for this. But if you kind of look at the full realm of your experience, there might be some great things to highlight.
I think internships are the key here, because you can say, honestly, I've worked at this company or that organization, and that can, particularly today, many college students have 2 or 3 or even 4 internships.
Yeah.
And depending on the math, that can add up to 1 or 2 years of experience. So you both made this point, highlight those internships, and Leela, you made this even more emphatically. Think about the outside experience that you might have through volunteer or other work in that field that is where the job is. And that can make, I think, a big difference in the success of an application.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Well, good luck, Shiva. Let us know how it goes, and we appreciate the question. If you've got a question for Jessica, send her an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. You can also call our listener line. We actually haven't had a call on our listener line for a while, so we'd love to hear from you. That number is area code 716-JOB-TALK, or post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. However you do it, if we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. We'll be back in a moment, and when we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Carrie Twigg, to get her tips about how to answer the Tell Me About Yourself question. We all know that first impressions matter. And the very first thing a hiring manager sees is your cover letter. That letter gives you a make or break opportunity to wow an employer. Yet too many job seekers squander this chance. They send a cover letter with typos, a sloppy format, or cut and paste text. And avoiding these rookie mistakes isn't enough to get you the interview. You also have to tell a compelling story. It all sounds complicated, right? In fact, if you follow a few simple rules, you can write a cover letter that stands head and shoulders above the rest. I've created a guide that shows you how to do this. It's called Simple Rules for a Winning Cover Letter. Inside, I explain the ideal content, structure, and style that appeal to hiring managers. And you get examples and templates to follow that you can use to write your own winning cover letter. Get simple rules for a winning cover letter today. Go to maxlist.org/cover letter. Start transforming your cover letter today. Again, that's maxlist.org/cover letter. Now, let's get back to the show. Now, let's turn to this week's guest expert, Carrie Twigg. Carrie Twigg is an international job search strategist. She helps people land their ideal jobs using their stories. Carrie has taught in universities, theaters, boardrooms, and even a boathouse. And she was recently selected as a top career expert to follow on LinkedIn by JobScan. She joins us today from the city of Winnipeg in Canada. Carrie, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation because you've written some great blog posts about how to answer the tell me about yourself question. And you've got some very practical tips. And this is obviously a question that comes up in almost any interview. Let's step back before we get into those tips, Carrie. When candidates are thinking about this question, what should they hope to accomplish when they give their answer?
They really, it's the first question that gets asked. So it's really setting the tone for the entire interview. And I think what you want as a candidate is to think in your mind, if I'm introducing myself and they're to know me as anything, what do I want them to remember me and know me as? I think the other piece is having something, that if somebody got called out of the interview after that question, that they would have like a sticky story that they could remember you by, something that the interviewer can imagine. So it's I think, setting the tone, but putting something memorable and interesting in there.
So it's that important first impression. And I'm glad you brought up story because stories are sticky, aren't they? They stay with us long after we forget important data or statistics, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's not just telling a story like I fixed a filing system, but, going into detail so that the people can imagine you doing the work, right? So even if it's like, it was a filing system that was all paper in these old brown folders, and then I created a new system with new, colorful tabs and a matching system so that people can imagine it too. And that's the sticky part of stories.
Yeah. And as you spoke there, I mean, you were creating images, I think, in pictures in the minds of all of our listeners. And I know we're going to talk more about how to do that in a moment. Before we do so, I want to just ask you what might be an obvious question, but why do you recommend that people actually prepare an answer in advance and not walk into the interview room and wing it?
Well, because usually if you think about what your nervousness or stress level is going to be, it's going to be the very highest at the very beginning. So if you have something that you are really confident in that you know, then at least you can trust yourself to deliver that properly. Most of the people, when I first started teaching about job search, I worked with people who had experienced job loss. And I always felt like the most similar situation they would have had to a job interview would have been the day they got notified about job loss. And so what if all of those feelings come back and you kind of like, oh no, I had this trauma, and you just blank and you don't know what to say. So at least this prepares you for knowing what to say, and you're in control of that first impression.
So let's talk about preparation. And again, you've got some specific tips of things people should do when they answer, but how, as they're doing the preparation, what should they be doing? Should they write a script, Carrie?
Yeah. So I have like a blog post that maps it out. And when I'm working one-to-one with people, I'll give them a template. But the first step is, just map it out, write it all down. So what's your intro? What are some good stories? What words do you want to make sure that you're going to say? What words, does the company have in their job ad? Or what asks are something that you might be able to incorporate into your tell me about yourself?
Well, let's talk about those parts. And again, you've got a series of articles on your blog about this that lay out five elements in the tell me about yourself question answer. Or answer to the question, rather. Let's talk about the first one, and that's what you call the introduction. What should people include here?
So your introduction, you're giving context for what you are, right? So if you're applying for a job and you're a graphic designer, then you're going to start off with like, I'm a graphic designer, and letting people know how long you've worked in the industry and maybe a couple of things that you've done. So it's pretty short, but you're not starting. Some people start it with like, you know, I'm John and I'm a dad, right? And that's not what they want. It's about like who you are, but in relation to the job you're applying for.
Okay. After that introduction, what's the next step?
Then the next step is starting to talk about your super skills. So your super skills is letting them know, like, you know, so you start with your intro. So I'm a graphic designer. I've been doing this for 20 years. And the thing, and then the super skills. And what I'm really great at are, and then name, I would say up to three things that you're really great at. And if, you know, if one or two of them are a little bit buzzwordy or a little bit, you know, overused and you have a good story to back it up, that's all right. But try and have one that is in like, it's like for me, I'll be like, it's a Carrie-ism. Like it's something only I would say. You know, but try and have another word that is a little like that grabs their attention a little bit and you know that no other candidate would be talking about.
Can you give us an example of that, Carrie, of words that you've seen that kind of stand out but catch the attention of the interviewer?
Oh, man. Well, I think it would be, oh, man. No, I'm not going to be able to come up with
How about a Carrie-ism?
Yeah, a Carrie-ism.
Any Carrie-isms come to mind?
Yeah, I would say like, so if I was doing, what are my super skills? I would say the things that I'm really great are helping people, and lots of people have that. My second skill is solving problems. And again, lots of people have that. And then my third skill is I'm really great at finding gaps in programs and creating learning programs to fill those gaps. So I might say like my third skill is, I'm not going to mess up my answer, but my third skill is seeing those gaps and then coming up with programs that help them. And then I would go directly into an example.
Okay. And is that example that you give, is that the third part of the answer, which is telling a story?
Yeah. Then you just move into backing it up, because you can't really like introduce yourself and say, I love to help people, I love to solve problems, and I like to address, you know, educational gaps, and then leave it there, right? Because just because you say it doesn't mean that it's true, and you haven't proven that you have it. So then I would dive right into the next part, which is backing it up with a story. So, you know, if it was the filling the gap one, I would be like, you know, at the Winnipeg Art Gallery, you know, people didn't understand Inuit art. I created a program that taught about Inuit art. It raised the attendance by 50%. So I would give a solid example that backed up that I had that skill.
And that's something good writers do as well, isn't it? They don't tell the reader what they're doing. They actually show them, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's way more interesting to tell. So as a person, like when you're prepping for your interview, it's more interesting to share stories that you love to tell. And it's way more interesting to listen to those stories too.
Well, there's a question that's on the mind of every interviewer when they're talking to a candidate, which is, why are you leaving your current job? What happened if you're unemployed at your last position? And that is the fourth element of the answer. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So it's your leaving story. And you're right. Like, so that's the question. So if you know they're wondering why you would be leaving your job or why you're not employed, then you tell them. So if it's, you know, if your job, if you feel like it's not meeting your needs anymore, you want a bigger challenge, or you've been there for 10 years and you're scared of growing stagnant, then that's what you can say, right? Well, I've enjoyed my time at ABC Company. You know, I'm now looking for a company that focuses more on and whatever that company does. Or if it's because of job loss, then you can say like, you know, while I was working at such and such company and I'm proud of the work that I did there, unfortunately there was a restructure and my position was affected. At first, I found that really upsetting, but now I know what my super skills are and I'm excited to use them for you.
Why is it important for the candidate to tell the story? Because some people, particularly those of us, and I number among this group, who've been fired or laid off, we feel awkward and it's difficult to talk about. Why is it important for the candidate to give an explanation?
Well, because then you get to control the story of it and the dialogue, and it's not something to be worried about. So I'll have, like, be working with clients and they're like, well, what if they found out I lost my job? And they're going to find out. And so it's better for you to phrase it in the way that you want than to be worried the entire interview that that's going to come up and how you're going to answer it. So you're setting the tone. And sometimes what can happen is that the energy can change in an interview. So you can be, you know, really great start. You'll be answering questions. And then all of a sudden the last question, and they might be casual, and they'll say, yeah, so, when can you work? And then you go, well, immediately, because I lost my job. That can be jarring because they might be thinking, oh, this is a employed person who's happy in their job. And you don't want it to affect the decision. But if that's really new, surprising information and they were seeing you in one light, that can be jarring. And it's not that job loss isn't common or it's not acceptable. It happens so often, but you want to be in control of telling it.
Yeah, before starting MaxList, my career was in political communications. And what you're advising is something that elected officials and candidates do around the world, which is when there's a negative, acknowledge it, give your explanation, and then move on through what's called a bridging response to the story you want to tell. And if you watch public affairs shows on television or cable channels, you see political people do this all the time. And it works both on talk shows, and I think it's probably very effective in interview rooms as well, isn't it, Carrie?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I didn't know it was a political move. I love it.
It's called bridging, but
bridging, yeah.
But it's the reason you want to do it is you want to control the story, and sometimes you can't, but if you step forward and do it in the beginning, the odds are that you're going to be much more successful at doing so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, finally, there's the closer, and this is the fifth of the five parts you recommend. Tell us about that.
So the closer is just so it's not ending with like, and I lost my job and I'm excited to be here. But then telling the company specifically, like, again, if it hasn't come early, why you're excited about being there and being there for that particular role with that particular company. So it just puts it in a nutshell and cleans it up.
Good. Well, let's step back. So those are the five pieces that make up this answer. How long should this take a candidate to do all five of these things?
Yeah, well, I think it depends. It depends on your career, and it also depends on how if you like to talk about yourself and how long your stories are. So I would say the minimum is 2 minutes, but I know people who have, a 5-minute tell me about yourself. So it kind of depends on the job you're going for. If it's a place, like if it's a government role or like a crown corporation, like a utility place, like a place where you're getting points for your answers, where they really use that like BDI rating system and you get points for what you say, then it can be longer. If it's really casual, if it's a startup, there's no formal HR people, they might be a little weirded out if you go 5 minutes. So you want to adapt it, for the role.
And we talked a little bit about preparation. You recommended writing this out. Let's talk about how you do that. Do you actually write a verbatim script? Do you use an outline or bullets? What do you see is most effective for the clients you work with?
Yeah. So first, just writing it all out. And then, it comes from acting, but really write it all out and then take those pieces and even write it out on like index card, and you can play around with the order. So just because I said, you give a little bit of your career history here and then you go into super skills. Well, maybe like the way the flow of your stories, the way that they go, that won't work for you, right? So maybe you're going to start with like an intro and then you're going to tell them, yeah, I lost my job. And then you're going to go into your super skills. So if you take out, if you use index cards, you can play around with the order of them. And then, you know, from the index cards, see if you can think about the main idea you're trying to get across and just writing one word on your index card. So, you know, I might just have like three skills, right? And I'm not going to list what they are, but I'll have, you know, three skills. And then I'll be like, tell them the corn story, tell them the maize story, tell them the light story, and then the leaving story. And when you can start to talk it out just by like those visual cues, then you know you're starting to get it. And then I really recommend recording yourself doing it. So I'll walk around with like my cell phone and just say it, right? This is my tell me about yourself. Or I'll go for a run and I'll say my tell me about yourself. Because then you get it, like you get it in your body. So that when your brain is going to panic mode at the interview, you can trust that your body knows the script.
It becomes almost like a muscle memory, doesn't it, if you practice it that much?
Exactly. Yeah. And by doing different things with it, because it's not about like it's not about memorizing it and then saying it in a really dull way. You want to say it as if you've never said it before. You just know exactly what to say.
So it's you not only write this out, but you record yourself listening to it. And then typically, how much practice should people invest in something like this?
Like, so for interview prep, I think if you're doing it even a week before the interview, you're in good hands. Going through this method and rushing through it and being really nervous a day or two before the interview can sometimes cause more stress can make you more nervous about trying to get it right than it might be worth.
Well, that's terrific advice, Carrie. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Oh man. Well, I'm just coaching. So, you know, my favorite work to do with people, is one-to-one coaching. So when, you know, whether it's resume or interview prep or figuring out how to use LinkedIn, you know, I'm just taking clients for one-to-one work.
Well, terrific. And I know people can learn more about you and the services you offer by visiting your website. That URL is career-stories.com. You've also got an excellent series about these tips that we described, and we'll be sure to include both your website address and your blog post on this subject in the show notes. Carrie, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
We're back in the Max List studio with Leela and Jessica. What were your reactions to my conversations with Carrie? Leela, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job of breaking down why that question is so important, because I think a lot of times you think, oh, I got that. Like, I can just talk about my time in college or whatever. But how you answer that question can really set the stage for the rest of the interview. And I liked how she suggested talking about your super skills, because if you focus on like the two or three things you want to be remembered for, then there's a better chance of you standing out from the crowd versus telling a story about something random from your past, you know? I think it's important to be very strategic with that answer.
I agree. It really does. It really is a really important story to tell at any point in the interview, but especially at the very beginning and starting it out, and you don't want to get into it and be rambling.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, it's easy to go into it thinking, it's my story. I know it like the back of my hand. I lived through it. I can do it anywhere. But you, like she said, the pressure is on in those interviews, and you mm-hmm. really don't want to leave anything to chance, because you really want to put your best foot forward, and you don't want to end up talking for 5 minutes unless you have a very polished story that fills for a specific purpose those exact 5 minutes. Because I think that was a really important, the time length that you guys talked about is really important, because it doesn't really matter how long it is, as long as it's tight and there's succinct and relevant information within that length of time, so that you, again, you're not rambling and you're not telling any bits of information that are not directly relevant to the story and the position.
Yeah, I like her strategy, the structure she provided, and the examples. And and her description of how to prepare the practice.
I liked that too.
And she has a theater background, as she mentioned, and that came through loud and clear, because I've worked with speech coaches who come out of theater, and one of the things they have you do is memorize sections of your remarks or your presentation. So, and they have you practice it like 1,000 times. So when you're nervous in front of a crowd or in front of an interview panel, it becomes reflexive, and it makes a big difference.
It's huge, because I liked your point about the muscle memory and having it be just a part of you, because it does have this way of just coming out of your brain, even though you think that you have it and you have memorized it, but the pressure just makes it evaporate. But I liked also that she mentioned memorizing it, but also having kind of tying it to related specific words, so that when you do have that pinch, you can say, I'm going to do the, I forget all of her things.
The corn story.
Yeah.
I want to know the corn story.
I know. Me too. The corn story, the light story, the make story, and the closer, or whatever. Yeah. So tying it into those specific points is really important, because that can help you. We did that with TEDx stories. You do the same thing of you tie it generally to your slides that you have on stage. And so that really helps you, so that you are memorizing, but that if you lose one of your lines when you're memorizing, that you don't have a panic attack that you have lost everything. You can just get back right on track.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Carrie, for joining us this week. And you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Make the most of your next job application. Learn how to write a perfect cover letter. Get simple rules for a winning cover letter today. Go to maxlist.org/coverletter. Again, that's maxlist.org/coverletter. And join us next Wednesday, when our special guest will be Carolyn Adams. She'll explain why you can't keep your options open when you look for work. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.